To first introduce Dr. Sorokin, who will say a few words about the project, the Multi-Actor Health Ecosystem Design Project, she's the director of the S&T Foresight and Science Promotion Division, Science Policy Directorate at Health Canada. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Well, it's late in the day, so I'll be really fast. Health Canada has been investing in a foresight initiative to look at how science and technology can enhance the health of Canadians. And here is an example of some of our work from yesterday. So just to, very hard to look at it from this angle, but just to point out a few of the most important parts is that basically if you look at the top, science and technology enables multi-actor health ecosystem design. The concept is that there is much more interest in, health and wellness as a preventative type of approach. And to do that, we need very many players. And a lot of what is related to today is the change in behavior all the way down to the individual level that is going to be required. So we took a look at obesity, mental health, cancer, aging. And we see that a lot of the requirements are going to be very much working at the individual level and at the community level to change behavior, which is what we were talking about today. We see some of the ability to move different segments of the population using science and technology, which is really good for the people who are motivated or are about to be motivated, and a lot of social capital, social entrepreneurs and caregivers mobilized through science and technology. So this is a very brief overview. The other part was the intersection of three sciences coming together. So the science, S&T and networks, which the biofeedback mechanisms to sort of support behavioral change, and ubiquitous sensing connectivity with our environment that can give you information to make better choices in the day. So very quick overview of what we achieved yesterday.
Thank you very much. What I think we'll do is have the three people present the three projects, and then we can have a few questions at the end. Dr. Schmidt is a professor at the Graduate School of Business and director of the Center for Global Brand Leadership at Columbia University, will now present the project on transformative innovation for healthy living.
Yes, and this project is called the Healthy Eating Experience Project, and I should say that I've been very fascinated with the content of the conference all day, the role of the brain in food consumption. I've learned a lot about the lateral hypothalamus and hippocampus in energy balance and food intake and impulsivity. And I also experienced those factors over the last few days because I just arrived from Asia on a long flight. And I also took a long nap just now for 3 hours. So it also relates to the last presentation that we have seen. Now that's off the record because otherwise I won't get reimbursed by my school. Because I was just in Asia, I also became acutely aware one more time about the difference in terms of the concept that Asians have, for example, about healthy eating from the concept that we have here as Westerners. And that is actually the topic of this project, to look at cultures all around the world. And we'll be looking at 20-plus countries to examine how consumers in these different countries conceive of what is healthy food and what is healthy living. And just to give you an overview of this HEAP project, and by the way, you can get more information on our website, which is healthyeatingproject.com, healthyeatingproject.com. The goal here is really to understand consumers and their experience with food. And then to relate this back, of course, to some of the neuropsychological, physiological, as well as genetic factors that have been discussed all day. So it is truly an integration, starting with the societal factors, if you will, the big picture in terms of the culture and sociology and psychology, and then relating that back to the to these brain factors that have been the topic of the conference all day long. Just to give you a little bit more information about our project, The project tries to understand the total consumer experience. I've written a lot about the consumer experience. I've been author of books like Experiential Marketing and Customer Experience Management. And we really want to understand the consumer experience that surrounds people's eating choices. So apply the concepts and tools and frameworks that have been developed in this top, in this area of experience management now to this very, very important issue of eating and obesity. The goal is to find win-win solutions to with companies, policymakers, and the public. So the point is not to just say, McDonald's, this is what you cannot do anymore if you want to no longer make people obese. That's not the point here. It's not about showing up the fingers, but it's really about supposed to find win-win solutions so that through an understanding, an in-depth understanding of the consumer experience, we can all work together in becoming healthier and for firms also to continue being profitable. So that is really the goal of what we have here. And we believe that the best way to achieve this goal is by looking at the differences that you have between different cultures. Not to have a one-size-fits-all solution, perhaps, but to also take into account how consumers themselves view what they are eating and what they would like to eat. Here are some concepts from experiential marketing, from my own work, Sense, Feel, Think, Act, Relate. Broad-based orientations that you may have in terms of experiences. Some consumers may be very, very much attuned into sort of the sensory aspects of a consumption experience. Others may think about what they are eating, and they may constantly analyze in terms of the food intake that they are taking. That seems to be a very, very different kind of experience that they are desiring when they are eating than consumers that are focused on the sense. And then there are a few other types of broad-based experiences that customers often go through, which are labeled as feel, act, and relate in this chart. All right, so there are two broad-based orientations that we have found so far in the work, and the work is at this point in time preliminary. We are just starting to do the research. But broadly speaking, when you look at various cultures, there seems to be a particularistic view of eating and of the eating experience and a more holistic view. The particularistic view is, well, we've listened to it all day, right? It's the scientific orientation that we can slice everything up, that this thing produces that thing, that we have these micro components and they do things. And there are a bunch of consumers that do exactly the same sort of thing. They say, I cannot have much fat in my food, or I have to have fewer calories, or I want to have particular vitamins. And if I'm eating too much today, then I go on the treadmill tomorrow. So that is the particularistic point of view. You divide everything up, you say, this is good for me, this is bad for me, this is what I should do. There are trade-offs involved in terms of I've eaten too much of this one, then I cannot have the other one, or then I have to go on the treadmill. So it's a very mechanical, scientific, analytical view of eating. Not all cultures are like that. In some of the interviews that we have done in Asia, for example, as well as in certain cultures in Europe, there seems to be a different orientation, one that we refer to as more holistic, where people say, oh, you can have any food, it really doesn't matter, but you have to do it in moderation. You have to balance these sorts of things. So it's a very, very different view from the mechanical, almost view that is very, very much detached in an analytical way from the actual food kind of perspective that we seem to have, for example, in North America, relative to a more culturally immersed, holistic perspective. And we are trying to see whether these results hold up, whether they hold up in various methodologies that we are applying. Some of the methodologies are videography. You can watch some videos already on the website. HealthyEatingExperience.com. You can watch two videos, one from Italy, another one from Argentina, and there will be more of those coming. But there will also be other methodologies being used besides these videography, and for example, we will be doing some quantitative surveys in 20 plus countries. This will be done with a market research firm that is part of WPP, the largest market research firm and research and communication firm in the world. We also have a research firm that does the deep dive, that does these in-depth interviews to unearth more psychological motivations that customers are holding when it comes to healthy eating. So that is basically the project. As I said, it is just starting. It will be a large-scale project with multiple methodologies, and it is supposed to bridge the brain to society orientations that are part of this overall roadmap for healthy eating. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And now I'd like to invite Dr. Paul Thomason, who is a professor of agricultural economics here at McGill University. And he will be presenting the Healthy Eating Surveillance and Monitoring Project.
Hi there. I guess I'm sort of between you and cocktails, so we're going to do this real quick, okay? So we're doing, we had a parallel session yesterday, and there was, and basically what it was, we had 35 people come along, and they were from a variety of different sectors. We had people from the public sectors, we had management people, people from economics, health, private sector, and the social sciences. The idea behind this group is we're trying to look at evidence in terms of data requirements and data needs, but we were also looking at models and analysis to help decision-making on a variety of different scales and level, from everything from community decision-making to business decision-making for firms, for meso-level, like provincial-level decision-making within a country like Canada, but we were also looking at national decision-making and also international decision-making. The idea behind it is we had these 35 people who had a variety of expertise and different interests, and we were trying to get them to come together to develop a set of project style or broad platform areas that we felt that there were some gaps in knowledge and areas that we could actually help facilitate decision-making dealing with obesity and nutrition-related chronic diseases. So basically, the idea behind the day is we want to come out with some outcomes. And the idea was is that we had these four projects that ended up coming out of the 35 people that came about. The first one deals with research and information for decision-making through the creation of evidence. The idea behind here is we want to be able to have projects that link evidence and decision-making for better public health outcomes by generating evidence that fits the needs of decision makers. Two things are important here. First of all, it's the decision makers that need information, and they first define the information that is going to help them to make good public health decisions or private decisions in terms of the health domain. The other thing then becomes, how do we as scientists and researchers actually identify the data, develop the models, and undertake the analysis that will fulfill that? So in this area, we're doing everything from macroeconomic analysis that deals with trade, look at the impacts across industrial sectors. And so we have a variety of different projects that have been sort of developed now or starting to develop off of this. The next group of projects deal with this idea of complex system modeling for improved public health outcomes. Again, here what we're trying to look at is this idea of system dynamics and system development, where we have to relate that this idea that we're dealing with complex problems and a complex system, and we have to be able to, one, not only simulate it, but we also have to take into account the complexities and the feedback loops that go along with it. Again, the idea behind this is to help in terms of making better public decisions in terms of health. The next deals with this idea of dynamic knowledge platforms for obesity. We had two groups of individuals that that came together. One was from Quebec and the other one was from Australia. And there they're using community level data geared together with a geographical information system to actually combine information on health, the availability of food, other socioeconomic characteristics of communities, and actually bring it together so that when we can analyze policies, we can actually set the whole system in motion. And the final group dealt with the food environment. We had a group of individuals that were very interested in everything from food attributes, how do people value food attributes, how do people look at food, and how do they make their decisions about what food to eat. And so the idea behind it is that in terms of our next steps, we've already organized that each of these will be developing their own set of projects under each of the four themes. We've organized ourselves for phone meetings in the next little while, and by September we will have steering planning committee and steering committee set up for next September or September of this year. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for any of the four speakers in the panel? Sorry, I didn't hear that. Green drinks. In that case, I will hand, if there aren't any, thank you all very much for that.